Price volatility. Now we take a look at price volatility out in Texas.
Good afternoon. These particular results are this year's contribution to several years worth of research into what's taking place, and as producers are looking at, is it more efficient to continue to plant the transgenic varieties of cotton as opposed to shifting back to conventional varieties, vice versa, back and forth. Whenever the transgenic cultivars came out, they gave all the producers a lot more risk management options as far as weed control and insect control goes. And of course, it cut back on the cost of the production. At that time, whenever this new technology came on board, as economists are prone to do, everybody jumped on in an attempt to find out if the transgenic cotton was indeed more profitable than was the conventional type of cotton in a rotation. Time and time again, as the research was done and then checked and redone, we found that, yes, sure enough, the transgenic varieties were a source of increased income and was a good deal. So being a good deal, we couldn't keep it from the producers very long, and pretty soon they discovered our little playpen that we were working in, and they started planting all of this nice new Bollgard cotton and then on to the Roundup resistant cotton, and on to the Bollgard 2 and the Roundup Ready Flex, so forth and so on. But in the background of that, as more and more and more producers came on board and started planting the Bollgard cotton and the Roundup Monsanto Roundup Ready gene, we discovered that our profit margin was beginning to shrink. So here some years ago, in the area in which I worked, which was in far west Texas, one of the producers asked me, and they said, "Well, hey, all this stuff that you're telling us is all well and good, but is transgenic cotton still more feasible to raise than if we went back to the old conventional cotton?" And of course, you know what I said. I said, "Well, it depends." Just like I was taught to say, and by my teachers who were taught by their teachers, and so forth and so on. And I said, "However, I will see if I can find out whether or not it is more feasible or not." So we started this project. Jason and I and Jeannie and Warren Moulter started this project to determine whether or not indeed that in on a dry land situation, where the transgenic cotton production system was better still than if the producer shifted back to the old conventional, pick up the old hoe and go out there and hoe up the weeds and spray for bugs, whether or not it was a better deal. So, to determine this, the first thing we did was we constructed enterprise budgets that kind of depicted the production situation such as it was, determined how much the cost was to grow an acre of transgenic cotton, and how much the cost was to grow conventional cotton, and what the returns to those two different production systems were. Then we constructed as Jeannie called it, we constructed a James Richardson representative farm model, in which we would iterate these things and determine after some stochastic simulation whether or not, yes, it's a better deal, no, it's not a better deal, and what was the result. And also in the James Richardson vein of things, we decided that we would use the Latin hypercube sampling algorithm in our simulations, and this is indeed what we did. To do this, we used James's Scimitar add-in for Excel. Everybody has a model. We have a model. This is our model. As you might suspect, our model is that the price of cotton times the yield of our cotton minus our variable cost plus our fixed cost plus the cost of the land is equal to our profit. And that was the model that we went into this simulation with. And like any really good set of economists, we needed some assumptions. So we decided we'd go out and find some. And out in far west Texas, as we observed weather and as we observed weather records, we discovered that usually on the average, 1 year out of three had some kind of a weather anomaly. Now y'all may be familiar with weather anomalies, but out there they have weather anomalies. And whenever a weather anomaly happens out there, usually it reduces the yield of that year by about 75% or so. So in our model, in our simulation model here, that is built in. We have a generator that produces whether or not, yes, we're having a weather effect this year, no, we're not having a weather effect. We built some focus groups out of producers, dryland cotton producers, in the area that we targeted, that we looked at. And according to our focus groups, we found that transgenic cotton in that area in dryland condition would average about 453 pounds of lint per acre per year. And we cross-examined them some more, and we found out that the conventional cultivar made about 10 pounds an acre less. Pretty straightforward. We decided that we would assume that if in this thing, in our stochastic cotton lint price estimator, that if it estimated a cotton lint price that was less than 52 cents, we weren't going to stand for that because we didn't have to. We have a target loan price. So if the price of cotton came out of our simulator and it was less than 52 cents, we said, no way. So we made it 52 cents. And you'll be able to tell on this 1 year out of three and this 52 cents thing, you'll be able to look at the output of this here in a minute and see where it all kicked in. We had a $210.38 per acre revenue guarantee. We said that the APH and the FSA yield used to compute the direct payment and the countercyclical payment were equal, and they were equal to 375 pounds of lint per acre per year. We also assumed that our production budgets applied equally as well across the area that we were studying of producers. So we decided that in our little world here that we were going to use 500 iterations of our Latin hypercube simulator, simply because Latin hypercube algorithm does not require the very large numbers that Monte Carlo does to come up with as random an answer. So, here are the results of the run that we had of our CDFs. The red line, excuse me, the black line and the blue line are in fact area number one of our two area little world that we looked at. The black line is the transgenic cotton. The blue line is the conventional cotton in Area 1. The green line is the conventional cotton in Area 2. The blue line is the, excuse me, the red line is the transgenic cotton in Area 2. So, as stochastic dominance would tell us, in Area 1, blue is preferred over black, right? So what we're saying is that conventional is preferred over transgenic in Area 1. In Area 2, however, transgenic is preferred over conventional. So we have a split decision. So what did that mean? So we took our split decision and we decided that we would vary some things to see if it changed anything. And one of the things that we decided that we would vary is how much yield drag that there was between the transgenic cotton and the conventional cotton, okay? Remember we talked about originally that in Area 1 that there was a 10-pound yield drag difference. What is yield drag? Well, that means that the transgenic cotton historically made a higher yield, lint yield, than did the conventional, okay? But in Area 2, it was much more pronounced. It was a 50-pound difference that ended up being a 75-pound, the way it turned out. So we allowed, in Area 2, we allowed the yield drag to change from 75 pounds to 50 to 25 to 0 to see if it changed anything. We tested our hypothesis, again using stochastic dominance, and what we found was that at the 75-pound yield drag, that in Area 1, conventional was preferred over transgenic. In Area 2, transgenic over conventional. You can read as well as I can, and as you read down through there, nothing changed. Okay. Then we decided that we would vary lint price. So in one scenario, we used the lint price that was generated by our stochastic generator. We also used 75 cents per pound of lint, 90 cents per pound of lint, $1.25 per pound of lint, and $1.50. And what did we find? Well, we found out that in Area 1 that conventional was preferred over transgenic from $1.50 down to the stochastic generator. So at higher lint prices, conventional was preferred over transgenic. In Area 2, conventional was preferred over transgenic at all price differentials. So, what can I say to sum it up? That under most situations, and most situations where our producer was a risk neutral or a risk averse producer, in most cases, at this point in time, that the conventional cotton is a better deal than the transgenic. What does it take to make a difference? Well, cost structure has to change from where it is right now. We're going to have a different cost. Something's got to be cheaper in the system to make things change at all. So we'd like to acknowledge Jeannie and all the help that she gave us. Besides being a co-author on this project, she has supported it for many long years, from the time that it was a tiny, tiny baby up till now, where we have it ready to go to high school now. So thank you, Jeannie, for all your help. And is there any questions?
Any differentiate area? I mean, what is area one and area two?
Yes, yes. For the purpose of the paper, I kind of made it generic. Area one is St. Lawrence. Area two is the Martin County area. Not a lot of difference, but a little bit of difference in the procedures that they used. So.
Long heard that one of the benefits to particularly run-of-rate systems is labor savings and allowing a farm to be bigger and drive equipment over more area with fewer people.
Yes.
So I'm wondering about, you know, this is sort of a per acre, per your model, per acre kind of comparison of profitability, but what about the same thing? Would it be constraining to try to grow cotton conventionally, or would it affect kind of a whole farm, particularly if you consider some labor as being discrete, you hire that guy the whole year, you don't. I mean, is that
going to kind of... Okay, so if we let the enterprise size vary.
Yeah, or do a LP model that selects machines and people. I'm just wondering if labor would influence this outcome.
Stay tuned into this channel and we'll be back next year and speak about that.
We have one question for you too.
Yes.
You had some of the ranking, you know, it was conventional better than transgenic. How large was that difference under different scenarios too? Was it wide enough to be a really easy decision, or are you really riding the line one way or the other?
It's not huge, just simply because the numbers aren't huge. I mean, in a dry land situation, you know, we're talking a bale or just a little bit more. So not a whole lot of change is even there to have originally. But it's not real big. You might see a whole different kind of thing if you were looking at it under an irrigated scenario. And this we know.
Last question I'll ask.
Okay.
Replant issues. Were any assumptions made for having to replant and any of the policies, programs that some of the teams in?
No. Actually, this was one of the questions that this was about. If we have to replant, what do we do? You know, if we don't have, the seed vendor doesn't kick in more seed, do we go back with transgenic or do we plant conventional? And it pretty well answered that real quick. So, any other questions? Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.